would give anything for us to be together again.
And guess what? We're going to be, because the Cinema Shock Plus listeners have voted and we're watching Evil Dead burn. So cheers to our perfect family, because we're about to talk about it right now. Well, hello, and welcome to Cinema Shock, the show that digs deep into the stories behind your favorite cult genre movies. I'm one of your hosts, Gary Horn.
And I'm co-host Justin Bishop, and this is a bonus episode. This is our monthly new release review, voted on by members of Cinema Shock Plus. If you want to be able to vote, you can become a member of Cinema Shock Plus. Just go to cinemashock.net/plus. There's all kinds of benefits. We won't get into them all here, but I will say that one of the benefits you get is you get to decide what me and Gary are going to watch. You could go so many different directions. Thankfully, you made us watch a movie that we were probably going to watch anyway, in this case. Honestly, in most of these cases, but especially in this one, I don't think there's any way me and Gary would not have gone to see this movie in a theater anyway. But now you get to hear us talk about it. So this week on the show, on this bonus episode, we are reviewing Evil Dead Burn, the latest in the Evil Dead franchise, which has been going since 1981. This franchise is as old as we are, Gary.
Crazy to think about that Evil Dead has been going on this long. And it's a far cry from what it was when I knew about Evil Dead back in the day.
Yeah.
And talked about it. I mean, not a far cry. I just mean it's taking a different turn. What I didn't expect that it could go back to, you know, from where it originally started, the way that the movies were going with Ash and Bruce Campbell. It's interesting to see they actually... That's what people expected from Evil Dead, and now Evil Dead is back to what they originally were going for with Evil Dead.
Which is full-on scary. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so we will say up front, before we get into it, this is a spoiler-free review for the most part. We'll probably get into a few spoilers towards the end of the episode. We usually do that on these bonus episodes, but we want to be able to let you walk into the theater spoiler-free. So if you haven't seen the movie yet and you just want to know our opinion... We'll give it. We will very clearly let you know when spoilers are going to start, but it won't be until like the last 10 or 15 minutes of the episode, probably. So if you have seen the movie and want to stick through those, go ahead. But we will let you know right up front what we think of the movie so that you can make the decision if you want to spend your hard-earned dollars at the movie theater on Evil Dead Burn. So let's get into it a little bit. So Evil Dead Burn is officially the sixth film in the Evil Dead franchise at this point, if you don't count, like, the TV show. Started back, like I said, 1981. Sam Raimi directed the original. Bruce Campbell as Ash Williams. Now, I'm not going to go into, like, a ton of detail about the history of the franchise, because we did an entire Sam Raimi series a couple of years ago where we went very, very deep. We took a deep, deep dive into the original Evil Dead series. The first Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness. Those were all covered in that series. But... I think we probably mentioned them, but we definitely did not cover or have not covered any of the revival series, which began back in 2013 with Fede Alvarez's reboot slash remake slash whatever you want to call it, which starred Jane Levy. We were trying to remember her name the other day. It's Jane Levy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this is, it's interesting. This is like the shortest amount of time we've had to wait for an Evil Dead movie, which is kind of cool. Like the original trilogy, I think, had like 6-year waits in between films, even though those stories all connect and they're all like within days of each other.
Yeah.
But then it was like 20 years after Army of Darkness that the sort of reboot happened. Mm-hmm. And then another decade till Evil Dead Rise. Mm-hmm. And then so now we've got Burn, which is just 3 years after Rise, which is the shortest gap in its history. But then it's also getting beat with that because Evil Dead Wrath is slated for 2028.
Yeah, so they're just pumping them out. I mean, that 2013 reboot was the first in the franchise to not feature Bruce Campbell as Ash Williams, who was the protagonist of that original trilogy. It was also the first not to be directed by Sam Raimi, although he still serves as an executive producer on all of the Evil Dead films. I mean, he has a lot of creative input on these, as does Rob Tappert, his kind of right-hand man. Alvarez's film, which I think is really good. It's sort of a, we call it a reboot. It's a soft, we'll call it a soft reboot of the series. Like, it doesn't necessarily dismiss the events of the original trilogy. It just doesn't concretely acknowledge them. This new series, they don't feel the need to really explain the Necronomicon, the Book of the Dead, and all that stuff with that much detail, because they sort of expect you to come in already knowing that, even though they're all sort of standalone stories. Alvarez's film was pretty successful. It even featured, if I remember right, there's like a post-credit scene that teased the return of Ash, right? Right. Like, you hear his voice or something, I think. So it's sort of teasing the idea that Ash and Evil Dead 2013's protagonist, Mia, were going to like team up or something. And that's sort of what everyone thought was going to happen. As of right now, it has not. That has not happened.
There was also the Ash versus Evil Dead TV series that I can't remember if that was in between, because it did feel like Ash was about to come back in movies, and then I want to say it felt like then it went on, it spun off into a series with Ash versus Evil Dead.
Well, Ash versus Evil Dead premiered in 2015, so it was after the Fede Alvarez one. So a lot of people sort of speculated that there was going to be some sort of crossover after that, that, you know, because Ash was still ongoing, but. Honestly, to me, they feel like they're in different universes. Like, the way the Deadites are portrayed, which in Ash vs. Evil Dead are not as cartoonish as in Army of Darkness, but they're still a little cartoonish in a way, like a little, as opposed to like the Alvarez movie where they look like demon-possessed people. You know, they're pretty scary. So I'm not sure exactly why that like sequel wasn't made, or why Alvarez didn't return to the series. I mean, 3 years after Evil Dead, he made Don't Breathe, which is also has Jane Levy in it. And so I don't know this for sure. This is pure speculation. Maybe he turned down Evil Dead in order to do an original film of his own. I'm not really sure. I couldn't find any information on why he didn't return. But like you said, it was another 10 years before we got another entry in the series, and that was with Evil Dead Rise, which is not a direct continuation of Evil Dead 2013. It is set in the same universe, but it's completely different characters, a completely different setting. It's set in like it's actually the first one that's not set in a cabin in the woods. Well, I guess most of Army of Darkness is set in medieval Southern California, I think, is from the looks of it. But this one is set in like a high-rise apartment building. And here's another theory I've got. This, again, pure speculation. I was thinking about this, though, and I was like, when Alvarez turned down the chance to direct a sequel, or maybe he was just unavailable, whatever, for whatever reason he didn't come back, my theory is that Rob Tappert and Sam Raimi decided to turn this into more like an anthology series, movies that are, the plots are not related to each other, but exist in the same universe, so they're related but unrelated. That was sort of my theory. Like, let's pivot. Instead of doing a direct sequel to Alvarez's movie, let's just do another movie about Deadites that's set in the same universe.
It does feel that way for sure.
It feels that way, but one hole in that theory is that I know that Lee Cronin was invited to direct another Evil Dead movie, and that's one that would presumably, I guess because they are asking him to come back, it would presumably been a continuation of the story he was telling in Rise, which makes that whole anthology theory kind of fall apart. But he turned it down when he was contacted by Blumhouse about doing a Mummy movie. So instead of doing more Evil Dead, he wrote and directed Lee Cronin's The Mummy, which
feels like an Evil Dead.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of the joke, is that it does basically feel like an Evil Dead movie in everything but name. Although I liked Lee Cronin's The Mummy. I thought it was pretty good. And that brings us to Evil Dead Burn, which was the latest one is directed by Sebastian Vanacek. French director best known for his 2023 film Infested, which is about an apartment building overrun with deadly spiders, a.k.a. Gary's worst nightmare. Gary, you are not a fan of spiders.
But Sam Raimi's like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah, spiders. Get this guy.
Dude, I had never seen Infested. I knew about it. I remember when it came out and it was pretty well received. And I just never got around to watching it. But after we watched Evil Dead Burn, I was like, well, now's the time I'm to go back and watch it. So I watched it last night. It's on Shudder. It's a Shudder original. And I see what they saw in this guy. It is an intense movie. It is very creepy. It is very sort of dour, as this movie is, like just sort of relentlessly bleak. But it's legitimately scary. Like the way he portrays the spiders, they're not like super spiders or anything. They're like an unknown breed of spider that are very aggressive and they multiply very quickly and they get very big. And they sort of barely explain this in the movie. They just sort of wave it off, but they give you enough of an explanation to satisfy you to watch some just spider mayhem. But they're portrayed as like real living beings, not some sort of supernatural thing, which makes them even scarier because we've all seen spiders, so we can kind of relate to that. Right. It's really well done. I was very impressed with it. I thought it was really, really good. So, like, watching it, I'm like, okay, I can see how you guys would want to bring this guy in to do an Evil Dead movie and have him put his stamp on the franchise. And that's what happened. Sam Raimi and Rob Tapert saw Infested, and that's what prompted them to call Vaynerchuk about directing an Evil Dead movie. So they saw something in him. And according to Vaynerchuk, he was basically given carte blanche to do whatever he wanted by the producers. The latest issue of Fangoria actually has an Evil Dead Rise cover story, so that was convenient. I read it after we saw the movie the other night, and it's got an interview with him in there. And he basically says that they just, like Raimi and Tapert, they just told him to write your own story in our universe. So there's not like some big story committee keeping up with continuity from movie to movie like it's the MCU. You know, I mean, hell, even Raimi's original trilogy doesn't have much continuity. That was not his concern. So why start now, I guess? So Vaynerchuk's basically able to do whatever the hell he wanted as long as it made sense within the universe that had been established. And this new film, which it features all new characters, it's a standalone story set within that established universe, at least the universe of the 2013 film and beyond. It does sort of take the lore in a new, slightly different direction, which we won't get into the real specifics on that, I guess, until maybe the spoiler section. And it's not like huge, but it does tweak things a little bit. Like it fills in a little bit of the backstory, where the books came from, who was involved with them. It's very interesting to me that Raimi and Tapert are sort of allowing the mythology of the series to be built out by each director that they choose to make an Evil Dead movie. Each of whom brings their own ideas to the table and is allowed to just sort of weave it into the tapestry of the series. But that means that subsequent directors have to build on what others have already established. So when Vaynerchuk came into this, he's able to bring his own story into it, but he's sort of, and bring his own ideas and expand on it however he wants. But he's also sort of having to take into account what Alvarez and Cronin did in their films, because it has to still exist in that universe. So we can't do anything that contradicts what they were doing necessarily. It's a very interesting way to build a franchise to me.
Yeah, well, it's just, I don't take too much issue with that. Like that if you have the same basic like lore behind it all, that you could, at least gives you a base to like, why is this an Evil Dead movie?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But they're allowing him to like tweak the lore to fit his story a little bit. True. Which is going to affect the next entry in the franchise, because they're going to have to build on what he's doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, this one does have like direct connections to Evil Dead Rise. Like, you know, so like they're almost like it's becoming an anthology, but then it's also like, oh, it's a sequel. It's
a little bit of both. I mean, it's an anthology in that each story is a standalone, but they are all at least somewhat connected, even if they're not sharing the same characters necessarily.
I should have thought of this before right now, but am I crazy, or is it that like last Deadite at the, is it the Deadite at the beginning of this movie, one that was left over from Evil Dead Rise?
I think so. Yeah. I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. So it seems like they, you know, I guess what I'm saying is yeah, unlike the 2013 Evil Dead, which is just kind of out there on its own a little bit. Like this one does feel like maybe they're building a series,
you know? Yeah. I've got some thoughts on that as well, which I'll get into probably later on in the episode on what I kind of see that they're doing or feel like they're doing. But let's first just review. Let's give a review of the movie. Let's talk about what we thought about it. We both saw it opening night, or well, Friday night, opening weekend, and we didn't really talk about it. We talked about it a little bit afterwards, but we usually save most of our thoughts for this, so that we're hearing each other's opinions fresh, because I have no idea really your opinion on it. So but we're both obviously big fans of the franchise. I mean, you liked Rise, you liked the 2013 one, right? You were into those. I mean, I think they're both very good. None of them are, it's almost hard to compare them to Raimi's movies because they're so different. It's like a completely different feel to them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the tone is totally different. I mean, it's like the feel of A Dead Eye is the same, but it's like it just definitely gets treated more seriously in the newer ones than than you get. You know,
there's none of that like Looney Tunes, like over the top silliness that you get.
The violence is more visceral for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like these are all three of these have been absolute bloodbaths, and I think this one might take it to whole new levels. Honestly. Fede Alvarez's movie has a ridiculous amount of blood in it, but this one, just the gore levels are like sort of unprecedented.
Yeah, you know what's crazy though is I was also reading an interview with the director, and he mentions that like he says he told Raimi and Tappert that he wasn't interested in, I think he put it as buckets of blood. Like he was saying that fake gore doesn't disturb him as much as a teeth on the sidewalk moment, like in American History X does.
Right. Stuff that you can feel. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was going for like more of that kind of concept to it. Which I think he achieves that, by the way.
Yeah, I think he does. I think he absolutely does. So what did you think? Well, first, just give me your thoughts on the film. What were your initial thoughts walking out of the theater?
I'm going to try to preface this by saying, I have not ever seen an Evil Dead movie that I did not like. I can still say that firmly.
Okay.
I don't dislike any of them. So I like this movie. I don't think it's the strongest of them. I don't know where I would rank it if I were doing the rankings six movies. But it would probably be lower on the list initial thoughts. Not because I think it's a bad movie, so that's what I want to be clear on. I don't think it was bad. I had fun in the movie. Like, it was, there's a lot to love, and there are scenes that stand out to me, and I think scenes that will stay with me as, like, memories of things I've seen.
Yeah.
But a little bit for me, that's kind of the thing. Like, I felt like this movie was a lot of things happening, and that it's cool. And I think if you're a fan of Evil Dead, you get what you want out of it. Like, so you're not, so for that goal, that purpose, it's a success. Like, it's a solid Evil Dead movie. Is it a great movie? I don't think so. Like, I don't think like it personally. I feel like there were no characters that I really liked that much in the movie. I think that by the end, I hesitate to put it this way, but I think it went on longer than I needed it to. And by the end of the movie, I was kind of like, let's wrap this up. I did feel that way. I can't lie. That's just how I felt.
Well, and I don't think that's a pacing thing, because the movie is a pretty tight, like maybe like 90 minutes. It's pretty short, but it just like relentlessly pounds you over the head with just like unpleasantness, really, for most of that 90 minutes. So by the end, you're just like exhausted by it. I think that's really what it is. I don't think it's a pacing like where it's like slow or anything like that. It's just like, oh, enough already.
Well, you know, here's the other thing about that though, is I think you're right. It's not that it was paced terribly, I don't think, but I also don't think, I'm trying to say this without getting into spoilers for anything, which we can do towards the end more, but I would say I don't think the finale, like if you talk about Fede Alvarez's 2013 or even Evil Dead Rise, I feel like they build to a crescendo and it like really, because I think the 2013 one is fucking phenomenal at that.
Yeah,
like I thought the movie's over and then it's not over and there's more. And I was shocked even more by where it went from there, you know? And like,
well, this one
hammers you with like so much stuff. And then I don't think that the finale of the movie like lives up to where else you've been.
I agree. And I think that I actually have a couple of big issues with the finale that I will wait until we're in spoiler territory to talk about in more specifics, but I agree. I do agree with you. I think the finale is sort of, it feels anemic compared to the rest of the movie. And you're right about the characters. I think that there are not really any characters that you really like in this movie. I mean, the only one that you can sort of like, you're sort of on their side, is the character of Alice, who is sort of the like the main protagonist of it. And the actress is good. She's a French actress, Shohila Yacoub, I think is how you say her name. I am probably butchering that. I have no idea, but she's fine in it. I mean, she's good. She's just, it's not given that much to do. She's given some backstory and stuff that's supposed to give you, I mean, you're sympathetic towards her, certainly, but you're not given enough time with her to really care about her. And something about Evil Dead Rise, like Lily Sullivan and Alyssa Sutherland's characters, the two leads of that, you immediately like them. And so when Ellie, Alyssa Sutherland's character, gets turned into a deadite very, very early on, and that's not a spoiler for that movie, it's, she's in the trailer as a deadite. When she gets turned, you like actually care. And in this one, when people start getting turned, you're just like, well, he was an asshole before he died. Right. Yeah. And now he's an asshole again.
That was kind of the trouble with it, because I felt like, and I struggled with this, like the more I thought about it, because I was like, even with Alice, it doesn't give you much to work with on her at the beginning. So I think initially it sets her up right along with anyone else as being like, I can't get behind this person very well. Like it just, right. She kind of seems shitty in a lot of ways, like sort of, I hate to be that way, but it's a character. Fuck it. I gotta be honest. So then it gives you more backstory as it goes on, and it's like, oh, we're building up to this being about more than what we were presented with at first, but I don't think it gets there. I don't think it quite hits that mark. And so like, I don't know, even the characters that like, you're like mildly behind from the beginning. Like, I feel like at some point they're going to do something that makes you just think like, why are you such a shit?
Yeah.
Like and maybe that's the point. Maybe you're just, you know, it's supposed to be okay with this family getting brutalized, but it just feels like I miss a hero character that like I was like fully on board with that was super likable.
Right. No, I absolutely agree. And I mean, there are things that, I mean, I'm with you. I think this movie has its issues, certainly, and I'll probably mention more of them, but it does have its strong points. I think the opening of the film is, it's right out of the gate. Like that cold open on the lake, like it is, there's an incredible kill. Like it tells you how gory it's going to be right from the beginning. It's a great cold open, I think. And it kind of sets everything up really well. And there are a lot of great sequences like that throughout the film. As a whole, it has a hard time because of things like being able to connect with the characters. And this is not an issue like with Vanacek, because that doesn't happen. You connect with his characters in Infested a little bit better. So it's not like a issue he has as a writer or director. But it's something in this one, just, I don't know. I didn't quite click with really anybody, even the protagonists. Now, I will say, I read very little about this movie before I saw it. Like, I had seen the trailer, maybe like the first one, but I hadn't really read any plot synopsis or anything like that before walking in. I hadn't seen any other trailers for it other than that initial one, because it's an Evil Dead movie, and there's not a lot you need to do to convince me to go see an Evil Dead movie. Like, if it's out, right, I'm seated, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't know who Vanacek was until I started looking into him afterwards. I didn't know what else he had directed. I didn't know he was French, because that name didn't read French to me. But as I was watching the movie, when we were sitting there in the theater the other night watching the movie, as this sort of barrage of unpleasant violence is like just unrolled on screen, I kept thinking, this feels like a French Extremity, new French Extremity movie. It feels like, you know, if you're not familiar with the French Extremity movies of the early 2000s, this is where these French directors were putting out these like really transgressive films that often featured, or pretty much always featured, very graphic, visceral violence. Like, think High Tension, Frontiers, Inside, Martyrs, movies like that. So as I was watching this, like, that is what I This feels like a French extremity movie, having no idea that it was made by a French director at the time, by the way. Even though the lead actress is French, the rest of the cast is not. I think most of them were from New Zealand or Australia. But the movie, to me, feels like it has more in common with those films than with, like, other Evil Dead movies. Like, it feels more along those lines.
Well, and there's a lot of other stuff, too. Like, I always think, like, these French, like, if I'm thinking of, like, Martyrs or Inside or something, as brutal as, like, those movies can be, they look good. Like, they and I think this movie does look good. And the sound is really good.
The score is really good, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, and then the score in this is done by, it's a French duo called Double Danger, who I think also did Infested. Okay. If I'm not mistaken. So he, I guess, just brought his whole crew to do this one. But which makes sense. I mean, it does feel like one of those, like, extreme, like, French horror movies or something like that. It definitely has that about it. But those are things I loved about it. I will say, although, you know, you were talking about the differences. I mean, I do think this is a funnier one than 2013 or Evil Dead Rise.
Do you? Because I don't at all.
I laughed multiple times in the movie, and it was like there was uncomfortable stuff, but then there was just like there were just a few times there was like something goofy. It wasn't played as goofy, but it was just like kind of an uncomfortable goofy.
And, yeah. I mean, there are a couple things with like the grandma, I guess, that were a little funny, but that's one of my issues with this movie was that it is, and the other ones are kind of like this, but I feel like there was a little bit more of a fun factor to them. Talking about the 2013 and Rise. Sam Raimi's original ones are very funny, but this one, I felt like it was almost completely humorless, and there were moments where they were trying to, like, make a joke, and, like, a couple of the moments, like I said, with the grandma, that were funny, but they were mired in such, like, a dark setting that it almost didn't land because everything around them was so just bleak.
Yeah, and you might have the consensus.
I mean, it really does, it kind of, like, bashes you over the head with unpleasantness for the whole movie. Like I said early on, like it never really lets up. And to me, you almost need a reprieve from that every now and then, just something to like let the audience catch its breath. And maybe that's what he was going for. Maybe he was like, I'm not going to let up. Like, this is just go, go, go. You're going to go through the same experience that these characters are going through. They don't get a chance to breathe. They don't get a chance to take a break. So that's what I'm going to do to the audience. But fuck, man. Like, it's pretty rough.
I'm thinking of scenes like there's just like awkwardness. So there's like awkwardness in the church. There's a scene at a funeral. And there's like and remember, like, it's not too much of a spoiler, but they're moving the casket out at the end of the funeral.
But a lot of that's really more like uncomfortable.
Well, that's what I was saying. I mean, it's all like uncomfortable, like awkward humor, but it's like, I did laugh out loud at that.
But it's like you're laughing because, like, if you were in that situation, you're laughing because you don't know how else to react to it.
Yeah. I mean, there's not like slapstick comedy going on. Right. I mean, the only thing closest I can think of to that would be, I mean, there are some moments like one that would fill out of another Evil Dead is like, this is not too much of a spoiler, because I've seen this image everywhere, but there's the girl that has the car headrest in her face. Mm-hmm. She starts, like, when she walks in and they're talking to her and she starts to speak, and then she gives kind of like a hold on a second, and then like slowly like slides the thing out of her head,
you know,
so she can talk. And so it's like little things like that. Like, I felt like there were like little subtle things that it was doing that were trying to be like some humor here and there.
Sure. I mean, I could see not, that.
Nothing was like focused on like its humor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but it was just like, here's some little jokes if you're looking for them.
Yeah. I mean, the gore effects, like, you know, that one you're mentioning, really throughout the whole film are very impressive, and they are like, I had not read that, you know, quote that you mentioned in that interview where he's going for more of like the like things you can kind of relate to, but a lot of them really do feel that way. It's like things happening that you know how it feels, at least to an extent. Like, you can, it's like, it's not over the top cartoonish gore, which none of these movies really are. But Jane O'Kane, who did Evil Dead 2013, did the makeup effects on this. She didn't do Rise because she wasn't available. She was booked on something else or something. But she's been working with, like, Raimi and Tapert since, like, Hercules, like, for over 30 years. So that's, like, their go-to makeup person. Did Ash versus Evil Dead. Obviously, the effects here are very different, but she did work on that. Now, one thing that I read in that Fangoria interview, Vaynerchuk said that they were originally given an NC-17 by the MPAA, had to cut some stuff.
Yeah.
But even the R-rated version of this, like when I was watching it the other night, I thought to myself multiple times during the film, how did they get an R rating with this? And that makes me wonder, what did they cut from the NC-17 version?
I know one thing for sure, because I can't remember where was it I was reading this, but the director said that there was a really hard scene in there. So let's see, how can I do the spoiler-free version? Somebody's head gets smushed. And in that scene, for instance, he said that scene was way longer and had way more close-ups.
It's so long.
And he was like, and it was more intense. And he says nobody's going to notice because the scene's pretty horrible in the movie as it is right now. But in the first cut, I had something like 35 hits and it was very long and silent. And so that's why censorship was like, okay, that's a little too much.
Cause even that scene in the film goes on so long that I'm like, oh my God, like stop, like stop this. And that was one of the scenes where I thought, how did the MPAA not go like, all right, you got like three smashes too many? Apparently they did. This is the trick,
you do like 35 of them. Yeah. They're like, all right, you got to cut some.
And then, we've only got 25 now. God damn, that song, that scene does go on forever. And it's you feel very uncomfortable. Like, it's not cathartic at all. It's just like, okay, we get it. I think you got them. Wow, that's crazy that was one of them.
Yeah, I just remember reading that one, and that's just nuts to me because that scene is like when I talked earlier about scenes that will stay with me. That 100% is one of them that I will just never forget what that scene looked like.
Now, do you think that the movie is scary?
That's another troublesome part because I don't know that I would call it scary.
I would say it's intense and that like it kept the adrenaline pumping, but I would never think that there's nothing about it that like provoked any sort of like actual fear or any like anything that was disturbing beyond like a very surface level visceral, you know, it's very uncomfortable, but it's all mostly from like a very visceral point of view. Other than the scariest thing in the movie is the dinner scene early on. There's a very awkward family dinner very early on in the movie that to me was scarier really than anything else that happened. Because it is sort of the jumping off point for all the crazy shit that happens and it crescendos to something very disturbing. But that scene itself, just people looking at each other around the table, and one member of the family has already been compromised, and it's just, and we know that, but no one else knows that. Like, that's tense, very tense. We've all been at bad family dinners, so we all can kind of relate to that. But then throughout the movie, once the deadite breakout sort of happens, it's just sort of relentlessly like moving and never really scary. Like, nothing bothers you on that level.
That's definitely one of the things. It's more focused on being brutal than scary.
Yeah. Which is why it makes me think of the French extremism movie, because that was a lot of times that was kind of what they banked on, more the brutalness and the extremity of the violence than actual like creating an emotion in the audience.
Yeah. Now, I will say, though, that the two that I referenced both have scenes I thought were like pretty creepy, like scary scenes in them. Mm-hmm. Talking about Martyrs and like Inside.
Oh, but yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
But those are, at this point, like classics in that situation. So, yeah, this movie just felt like it was wanting to just freak you out in like how violent it could be.
Right.
And so, yeah, there was definitely that. And that's troubling. Not troubling. Troubling is not the right. That's an interesting choice. But the problem I have with it is, again, going back to that, if I don't care about any of these people, that's hard. That like and then it also feels like you're trying to, I couldn't help but think they were trying to have a message with the way that they were violent, and I don't think it was landing, because I don't think I even fully got it all, and I don't think that they, I don't know, there was some problem with the way
that was laid out. They're definitely trying to say some potentially potent stuff about growing up in an abusive family, being in an abusive relationship, like all of this stuff is sort of, you know, weaved into the film. But I think that message, if they're trying to get a message across about that, kind of gets lost in the sauce, because it's not given room to breathe. It's not given room to really flourish to where you actually get the message. You're just giving like burst here and there, and you can infer things, but it never really has anything to say about those things. Like it brings them up without following through.
That makes me feel a little better that you're saying it too, because I was even struggling with, like, for instance, Alice, who is the person you're supposed to apparently get behind in this movie. And she's a badass. And again, I would say none of this, just to be clear, is about the actors at all. I actually thought every single actor in this movie was really good. Like, I had fun with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
As far as doing what they were supposed to be doing, I think this is strictly like a script or something kind of deal. But it's that, like, Alice, there's backstory for Alice that you get later that I think is supposed to help you sympathize with her and feel for her and like what she's going through, and it just comes too late or doesn't get presented properly enough that, like, from every moment up until then, there's been plenty of moments for you to also be like, yeah, well, you're not so great either, you know? And, you know, you're kind of a shitty person sometimes too. And I kept trying to reflect on that and be like, is this like, not to be too spoilery again, but, you know, like an underlying like domestic violence kind of thing, or is this
I wouldn't even consider that like spoilery, because that all is sort of hinted at in really before the opening credits.
The opening
title,
true.
You know, that, I mean, a lot of shit happens before the opening title, because it probably comes like 10 or 15 minutes into the movie. But you do get the idea that she's in a marriage that her husband is portrayed as an asshole. Like, and we don't see him abusing her, but he is, the way that he speaks to her, like, you can tell that this guy is like, he's not a good dude.
Yeah, he's got a problem, obviously. But then they also, like, it felt to me like at the beginning, maybe purposeful or not, it felt like they were also having her antagonize him a little bit. Not like as brutally as him, but like that she's poking the bear some or something with him.
Yeah.
And then, so then it's making me like sit back and go like, whoa, am I desensitized or am I insensitive to this? Am I doing the like, what were you wearing kind of thing, you know, just right, like, oh, yeah. You know, am I saying she deserves to be bullied or anything? And I'm like, no, I'm not. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying there's like stuff like right from the beginning that like she's also doing things. And so it makes it like they're unhealthy.
And that's how you are introduced to her, is the thing. Like, you don't see another side of her until later in the movie. You're introduced to her like taking photos and stuff, but you're very quickly shown her to be like, she's sort of like being, I don't, like you're saying, like kind of prodding him almost. Yeah. And that's, I don't think that would be an issue. And I don't think you would have those questions come up in your mind had she already been presented as a character who is sympathetic before then, but they don't try to get your sympathy for her until much later in the film, by which point there's so much other shit going on that, like, you're just in kind of survival mode as an audience member.
Yeah, well, and then what's weird about that, too, you just saying that made me think of when the movie first started, I would not have guessed she's the main character. I would not have guessed that this couple is that important. Like, that they're just part of the group that's going to be the victims in a slasher movie, you know? And it's just like...
Which I think is fine. I mean, I think it kind of starts as an ensemble and then it gradually turns into her thing.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, I wonder if it was purposeful that, okay, so if I were looking at this, the other biggest star that I would know of in this movie is Hunter Duhead's character, who, by the way, his only trivia fact on, I asked you this question in the theater, and his only trivia fact at IMDb is he is not James, related to James Duhead from Star Trek.
It says that on his IMDb.
It's on his, like, his trivia for IMDb. It's like the only trivia.
Wow, IMDb. I love it.
But I had actually seen this guy, and he's really good. He's in Daredevil Born Again. If anybody's watching that, like, he is in season what, I think, I don't know. I don't remember what season they're in now. He plays Muse, who's like a serial killer.
In the
show. So anyway, he's good. And, his character comes across as perhaps like he would be the protagonist at the beginning of the movie, I feel like. So again, maybe I'm saying too much, but it just, I wondered if it was purposeful, like you're supposed to sort of feel that way. And then by the middle, it flips on where your focus is supposed to go. But either way, I just think something is clunky or clumsy about the way that this was all done.
Yeah. Yeah. I would not disagree with that. I think that overall, like if you're a fan of what these movies have been doing with specifically the reboot Evil Dead franchise, I think that these issues are not going to prevent you from, I hate to use the word enjoying, because this is not really a movie. It's a movie. It feels like a movie you endure more than you enjoy. And I don't mean that as an insult, even though it sounds like one, but it is like an endurance test, because it is wall to wall 90 minutes of just nastiness, just nasty things happening to people.
Well, I feel like when you go to an Evil Dead movie, going back to like the very first thing I said, like it just, if you are coming to see an Evil Dead movie, you're going to get probably what you're looking for. You know, right. We disagreed a little on the humor somewhat, but like, I mean, as far as I think that you're going to an Evil Dead looking to see if they can gross you out a little bit or like creep you out with like violence or something, and you're definitely going to get that.
Before we get into our spoiler section, I did want to mention another thing that I read in that Fangoria interview or that Fangoria article, because they talked to Rob Tapert too. And he says, and I quote, and he's talking about the expansion of the lore in this, the way that Vanacek kind of expands on the lore a bit. He says, "I'm hoping the fans will find that enticing because it's the beginning of a road that leads somewhere. I'll say that." End quote. So that quote, not to mention there's a post-credits Easter egg that I won't mention until we get to the spoilers, but it makes me think that this is going to be less of an anthology series than it might seem, that maybe one day there's going to be some sort, I mean, like you mentioned the Dead Eye Dead at the beginning already being sort of a crossover, but it makes me think there might be some sort of Avengers-style like film where the narratives of the Alvarez, Cronin, and Vanacek films all intersect in a bigger way. It makes me feel like they're working towards something like that. And the next movie could be the one that starts to bring it together, because Evil Dead Wrath, which you mentioned, it began shooting back in February of this year. It's set for release in 2028. And they could probably get it out before then, but they sort of learned from what happened with the Bone Temple, like bringing them out a little too close together hurt the Bone Temple's box office. So they purposely are pushing this one back to 2028 for release to give some leeway, some time for this one to breathe before it comes out. But anyway, that one's being directed by a guy named Francis Galluppi, and it is actually a period piece set in the early 1970s, which means that its story will predate the original Raimi film. Oh. And according to Vanacek, he and Galluppi spoke before production began so that they could discuss story stuff. And again, this is according to Vanacek, there will be some stuff in Galluppi's film that are built upon stuff that was in Evil Dead Burn. So they are definitely building on the lore, but the fact that it's going back to the 70s, to before everything happened, makes me think that they are building this franchise into something that is fully connected.
Interesting.
And I'm interested to see where it's going, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm all in. Like I said, I have not seen an Evil Dead movie that I don't like.
At least on some level.
Right, right. Yeah. Exactly.
So, final thoughts before we get into spoilers. Thumbs up or down for you? Do you think people should go see this in a movie theater?
I'm going to go in the middle on that. I think that
you can't go in the middle. So yes or no. It's a thumbs up or down. There's not a thumb sideways.
I'm doing the Joaquin Phoenix thing from Gladiator. And I'm just... I keep leaning on that if you're an Evil Dead fan, then sure, go see it in the theaters. Like, it's a lot of... There's some cool looking stuff in there. And they stay practical for the most part, I will say. And there's some wicked stuff, but you know, I would base it around like something like Evil Dead Rise. Did you love Evil Dead Rise? Then like maybe this is okay for you to see in the theater. If you were like iffy on Evil Dead Rise, then you should probably not, because this, I don't think this is better than Evil Dead Rise.
No, I think it's the worst of the new ones, but that's not to say it's like a bad movie. It's just an okay movie. It's got a lot of issues. It's got some things to like if you're a fan of the series. I do think that, yeah, I'm with you. I think if you're a fan of the Evil Dead series, like specifically the new ones, if you've liked what you've seen so far, go see this. It's not going to be as good as those other two, but it's sort of in that, you know, you're not going to like hate it probably. I do think that if you're a gore hound, your plate will be full. Like you will, right. You will be having a good time. But it is for like casual viewers, I think it is just a little too dark, a little too bleak. It's a little just too much constantly just punching you in the face. And I say that as someone who doesn't have an issue with gore. Like, it doesn't bother me. Gore does not bother me in movies. And nothing in this, I mean, there are things that are uncomfortable to look at, but nothing that, like, grossed me out or anything like that to a point where I couldn't, like, I had to, like, look away. Maybe that's because I'm so desensitized to it and everyone is not going to have that. Also, trigger warning, if you have an issue with violence against animals, there is a scene in this that's going to make you deeply uncomfortable.
That is true. DoesTheDogDie.com.
Yeah, but for the most part, I think for most just like casual audiences, I think this movie might be a little too much for them.
It's hard to judge because you're like, well, who's going to see this like just flat out? Like, on one hand, I want to tell you, hey, ain't nobody going to see this movie that's like, this is their first Evil Dead movie, and they're like, hell yeah, what was that? Well, I got to go back and watch the other ones. I don't think that exists. Also, I don't know that anybody's expecting anybody that wasn't like, hell yeah, another Evil Dead movie to go see it. So,
yeah, I mean, it's a hard recommendation because it is something it's for a very specific audience and it's got its issues, but I do think it could make a good movie theater experience with the right crowd. Like we saw kind of an early show on Friday. Like most people were still at work or whatever. So our theater wasn't particularly like crowded. It was like a third full probably, but even then there were some pretty visceral reactions. Like there were some guys behind us that like, they were, when some nasty stuff happened on screen, like they were reacting to it the way that the director wanted them to react to it. So imagine seeing it like with a sold out crowd on like a weekend night. Like that could be a pretty fun experience. So your mileage may vary. Like I said, it is very, it's not like fun over the top cartoony gore. It is very, very realistic. So your mileage may vary on how you feel about that as well. But I think that's it. I think we've said our piece. Let's get into some brief spoilers if you're ready for that, Gary.
Yeah, I'm ready. I feel like I can't say anything else without spoiling.
Well, I don't have a ton to talk about in the spoiler section. So if you have not seen the movie yet and you don't want to be spoiled, turn this off now. Head to cinemashock.net. Follow us for all of our new regular episodes. John Carpenter series is going along strong right now. So if you're a fan of horror movies and if you're reading or listening to an Evil Dead review, I assume you are. Check out our John Carpenter stuff that's out right now, or go back into our archive and find those Sam Raimi episodes if you're a fan of the Evil Dead series, because they are very, those are, that was a fun series to work on. But for now, we will get into spoilers on Evil Dead Burn. Gary, I feel like you've got more spoiler stuff to talk about than I do, so I'll let you take the lead here.
Well, I mean, I guess the first thing I would say, if you are worried about spoilers, with the dog, it dies, but you also get your very first dog deadite. So
yeah, at least he came back, right? least they killed a dog, but at least he came back. And I will tell you, spoiler alert for Infested, but dog dies in that one too. I don't know what this guy has against dogs. It's not as violent. It's actually off screen. So you just see the aftermath of it. But
he said it was in, I think it was Variety or Soundsphere. These are the two places I read some stuff from. But they said the German Shepherd, I think it's Max. German Shepherd. Yeah, Max. He's played by Dax is the actor's name. First deadite dog in Evil Dead history. But they asked about the killing the dog thing. They're like, does that have, you know, a lot of people are against like killing the dog. And he said, if you don't do that in Evil Dead, in which movie do you do that?
Well, got a point. he's got a point. It also opens up the possibility of further animal deadites down the line, which is fun.
Which is interesting. It's nice to know that that is a possibility in this universe. So, yeah. I will say, I mean, just the biggest thing spoiler wise that I would really get to is that, let's see, there were two points I was thinking of. I mean, the biggest one, I'll just go ahead and get to it, is the very end. I just hated the ending.
That's the main thing I wanted to talk about during the spoiler section, because this movie is filled with incredible practical gore effects, and then it ends with a friggin' CGI burning guy, and I hate it so much.
I think
it looks like shit. So it's the husband. It's the Alice's husband. He comes back as this deadite who is burnt and all crispy and like literally on fire. And I don't know why he's burnt. Did I miss something?
His car catches on fire. Yeah, they use fire through the thing. So like when his car is upside down, the deadite head, she starts saying some stuff, and then the car. He burns to death in the car is how he dies.
Well, yeah, we see his early on in the funeral when the dad gets turned, we see the charred hand come out of the coffin, which A, they would not be putting that coffin into the incinerator. That's not how that works. They put you in like a wooden box. They're not putting you in a $5,000 like fancy coffin.
Just to send you into the
incinerator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to burn you up. That's not how that works. But yeah, his hand comes out and it's all burnt up and stuff. So okay, I couldn't remember if I was going to ask you if I'd miss if like did the car catch fire and I'm just not remembering that. But now that you said that, I do remember them using kind of a cool burn bar like shot where there was fire at the bottom of the frame. So okay, that's fine. There's a reason for him to be burnt, but why does he have to look so shitty?
I don't know. I hated it. And I couldn't tell if it was like, it's a combination, I'm sure, but you know, you've been beat over the head so many times. And this is what I was referencing with like the 2013, so much stuff happens in that movie too. And then at the end, I think that, what was her name? Mia. I think that she's okay. And then like one more, like last final thing pops up, you know, and she's fighting that. And it was wicked looking. And it was creepy too. Like it was good. I love that movie, but you got what's her face is in Evil Dead Rise. She's obviously really there the whole time. I was just like, why are they doing this with this guy? We've been beaten over the head with all this practical effects violence, which it looks great. I mean, it is good. And then all of a sudden now there's a fucking CGI guy. And I don't know why. I was not even bothered by him being there. I was expecting him to come back. I assumed he was going to come back. That would make sense for the plot they tried to get to with her having been abused by him and that sort of thing. I was expecting that to be the final confrontation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then at one point, I think the mom even says like he's on his way or something like that. And so I was like, okay, yeah, that's cool. That's a nice little build up for all of that. But then he's just the fucking, it's like a worse CGI ending of the Terminator. Like it's not good. And I was just kind of done, and it goes on and on like the chase.
Yeah. It takes all of the air out of the movie at the end.
I'm bored now. Like, yeah, I hate to put it that way, but I was just kind of like, okay, just wrap this. Sorry.
Well, there's also this thing with like the deadite like knife, the dagger, that, well, okay, the deadite dagger is this big plot device. That's the reason they're at this house, is because this their grandfather, like the husband and his brother, their grandfather, who is dead, was studying the Book of the Dead. And right. he was doing all this research. We get all that at the beginning of the movie. I imagine that's probably stuff that's going to be touched on in the one set in the 70s. That would be my guess. But they're looking for this Kandarian dagger, which he has among all of these other artifacts in the attic of this house. So that's a big plot device. All these deadites are there to look for this dagger. Why? I don't know. I guess so they can just have it so that nobody else can get it, I guess, because it's the one thing that's supposed to stop them. Well, if it's the one thing that's supposed to stop them, then how does she kill this guy with a fucking jackhammer at the end? Because that's what happens. Like, the dagger does kill, like, one guy, I think, but then the other ones are taken out in a myriad of other ways. So what's the point of the dagger?
I don't know if somehow... I mean, well, here's the thing. I mean, so we know from the post-credits scene that mommy's back. Mm-hmm. So she got put through the wood chipper, so she technically wasn't stopped, right. I guess. So maybe none of those characters really are stopped.
Unless the dagger gets them, I guess. Maybe that's just killing this version of them or something. But,
and I will say that the jackhammer hurt him a lot, and it looked like it was killing him. But I also took it as it was filling with like some kind of molten liquid there too. So
yeah,
maybe
but either way,
trying to like melt him or something.
Yeah, there's like a tar or something that's being poured in there. But even so, like it's still like it sort of makes the dagger not matter as much when you start seeing them die in all these other different ways. You know, right. It's fun to see them die in different ways, but then like, well, what's the point of the dagger? Like that was this whole like MacGuffin that they were going for the whole movie, and it doesn't really matter. Or if it does, they don't show why it matters really, because
yeah,
we see other methods of dispatching deadites that are just as effective.
The whole thing's a little frustrating when you like dig in on it like that. Like, I think I'm still back at where I started with like a lot of things happen. There are some cool things that happen in the movie, some like wicked looking things that happen, but I cared zero about anybody as a character in the movie. Mm-hmm. And even like when I was talking about, not to steal away from the finale if you had more to say about that, but I was also frustrated. The other thing that I was thinking about is that when Doohan's character, I forgot his name, when he is in the car, Joseph is his name, mm-hmm. with his girlfriend, and the dad goes ape shit and starts killing people. So like when the movie starts off, all of these people, you're trying to, I guess, just naturally pick out like who's the main protagonist. You know, it's an ensemble, whatever, but it's just they kill the girlfriend and Joseph runs away like a bitch and doesn't fight back, and it's like literally lets his girlfriend die. So
yeah, when he has like, I mean, he has the gun to the dad who is a deadite to his head and
doesn't kill him there, but then also when he's got her pinned down, he climbs out of the top of the car, mm-hmm. and then ends up running away. And he was, up until that point, the part I thought was like clumsy about it is like up until that point, he seemed like the only one who had any sympathetic value to him. Like he was the nicest person there, you know? Yeah. So I thought he was the protagonist. Like was just like, cause I was like, you're the only person I like right now in this movie. And then he does that. And you're like, mm-hmm. well, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Because they focus on him a lot in the early parts of the movie about him being a writer and things like this, and him and his girlfriend, and like him doing all this research for a book about his dad's deadite stuff. And then it just like, I mean, maybe they're trying to do like the like Psycho Janet Leigh thing where they make you think this person's the lead and then they don't, but then they make him very unsympathetic. Like immediately you don't like this
guy.
Well,
you make that one move and then nobody cares anymore. They're like, right. Well, you're a piece of shit. So
yeah.
During the whole, like even in the awkward family scenes, it's like you've got him and you kind of feel for Alice a little bit. Like you're like, all right, maybe a little bit. But like I said, she's already done stuff that you're kind of like, yeah, she's kind of skeezy too. Like, I don't know. And, I mean, the only one who really just sticks with it is, the actor's name is Errol Shand. It's Edgar, the dad. Like he's just gross and shitty the whole time. And
yeah. Yeah, he's like an asshole. Great. Like in the very first scene you see him in, which is in the funeral scene, he's kind of an asshole then too. Talking about the grand, where somebody's starting to talk to the grandma who's got like dementia, and they say he just turns around and says, "Don't waste your breath on her," or something like that. And like, but when he turns into a deadite, like he is scary. Like he's the scariest one.
For sure. And I was shocked they did like him shooting himself in the head multiple times. I was just like, wow, that has got to be, I mean, triggering for like a lot of reasons, but it's just crazy. I was like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. But also the effects when he climbs back through the window and makes out with the mom, like his face in that scene, I just couldn't stop staring at it, but it was so fucking gross. It looked great though. Like, where you're seeing his teeth back here and stuff, like his face is falling apart.
Which that's partially CGI as well. It has to be for you to be able to.
Yeah, it has to be. But it looked good.
It did look good. Yeah, it did.
The grandma is not a grandma, by the way, if you look her up. Like, that is weird. Like, she is
The actress?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. The actress who plays that, her name's Maude Davy, but she's, like, much younger than a grandma.
Oh, really? They just made her up?
Yeah, I read somewhere that was so she could do her own stunts.
Yeah, I was about to say, she does have a lot of physical stuff to do for someone that age.
Yeah. The other thing that I read that I thought was just really cool, like the part that you've seen in a teaser before and all of that stuff, that long one take, like crawl through the house that Alice ends up doing where stuff's going on. They nailed that in like 13 takes it took for them to do it. Like,
wow.
And they didn't have like the spinning rooms to like put people up on the roof, ceilings and stuff. They said they used like cables and stuff the whole time. So they just had to remove those in post. But like,
wow.
I just thought that was wicked. Like that was a cool scene. And to choreograph all that was kind of neat, but anyway, I'll shut up now. But that was it. I mean, the biggest issue that I think that kills the movie is the finale of the movie. Like, it's just kind of a slow
wet fart.
Well, I almost literally said wet fart. so just like at the end, it's just like, why are we doing this? Why did you feel the need to do it this way?
I'll be honest though, I did kind of like pop when Alyssa shows up at the end, and when Ellie shows up during the post credit sequence, just because I love her. I think she's great. I love her in that movie, and I like her as a personality, like the actress, because like I follow her on Instagram and stuff, and she's just like fun. And I haven't seen her in anything since Rise. I mean, I know she does probably stuff in Australia or wherever. I think she's Australian. But I'm excited to see her do more because I think she's really talented. And I think that she is really great in Evil Dead Rise. So I'm excited to see her come back, even though it doesn't really make sense. But I'm sure they will explain that.
It doesn't. And I wondered if it was like just people like her so much that they were like, okay, we kind of fucked up there. Like that.
Yeah.
That's a character that should be recurring.
Yeah. And again, it's not as if continuity has ever been Evil Dead's strong point, so
right from the beginning. So and what a return, just popping the tab on that little kid.
We're like, you know what, we already killed a dog, what else can we do? Oh, let's kill a child at the very end of the movie. We haven't killed a child yet, we got to kill a little girl. We got to pull a fucking John Carpenter assault on Precinct 13 and kill a little blonde girl.
So that was okay.
All right, so that's it for this review. We do this every month. Once a month, we come out with these bonus episodes where we review a new movie. If you're not familiar with our show, I mean, what we normally do are deep dives into directors' filmographies and behind the scenes about how their films were made. But every now and then, we like to go to the movie theater. We like to see a new movie, and we like to come here and talk about it. So we do let members of Cinema Shock Plus, our members-only site, choose the movies that we're going to talk about. And in August, the movies that we are looking at are Eli Roth's Ice Cream Man, Teenage Sex and Death at Camp Miasma, which is the new one from Jill Schoburn, who did We're All Going to the World's Fair, and I saw the TV glow, so it looks fantastic. And The End of Oak Street, which is the new one from David Robert Mitchell, the guy who directed It Follows. So those are the three candidates for August 2026. So if you want a chance to vote on those, just head to cinemashock.net/plus. And for the lowest tier, you get a voting opportunity on those.
Yeah, that's exciting. I want to see all of them anyway. So whatever the listeners choose, I am in for. But you should become a part of that by joining Cinema Shock Plus and go and vote and tell us what to watch.
Yeah. So I guess that's it for this week. Head to cinemashock.net for all things Cinema Shock. Links to all of our social media, Discord, merch, all that stuff is there. I can be found at Justin_Bishop on social media. He is at This Is Gary Horn on all the things. And the show is just search for Cinema Shock. Cinema_Shock on most of the things. I think that's it for this week. Gary, until next time.
May the wings of liberty never lose a feather.
And be excellent to each other.